continue here with our prayer class, with our davening class. Let's just recap quickly. We're really just starting out. We started with a few blessings. We explained what blessings are, and we spoke about two blessings so far: the blessing on washing our hands and the importance of washing our hands, and then the blessing of Asher Yatzar, which we say anytime we go to the bathroom throughout the day, thanking Hashem for this wondrous, miraculous body that we have, praying that it continues to work as it should. And of course, we say once every morning, regardless. But usually by that time, a person has gone to the bathroom. And then we move actually straight into the next blessing. And we gave a little bit of an introduction to this last time, where where it very much connected, because the final line in that last blessing. So let me just we'll recap that quickly. Actually, if you're using the sitter that I've given out, it's a little bit tricky, because you see it says in the notes on the bottom of page 15, which is where we're up to at this point, some recite Elokai Neshama, my God, the soul, page 18. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to be the sum. So we're going to jump to 18. In the English, it's page 19. And we explained that that final line of that blessing, we thank Hashem who does wonders. So we brought down the opinion that the wonder is putting a spiritual soul in a physical body. We explained anyways a good reason to connect the two is that this blessing that we're about to do today, Elokai Neshama, does not start with the word Baruch. So often when things don't start with Baruch, we put it right next to another Baruch. So it kind of like is connected. And this especially where the Baruch Ata Hashem Rofei Kabasar Ma'afli Lasos, blessed are you Hashem who heals all flesh and does wonders. And the wonder is to put the soul in the body, and then we make a blessing on the soul. Before we get into the actual text of the blessing, I gave this introduction. We'll remind ourselves what it was, what the soul is. And we said that the soul, according to Jewish thought, is basically you. You are your soul. Your soul is what feels happy, is what inspires for greatness, it's what feels sadness. And in fact, the body is more like a coat. In other sources, they say the body is like a shoe. This explains actually a lot of the Jewish customs that revolve around shoe. For example, in a house of mourning, the mourners don't wear shoes. And the reason for that is, or they won't wear real shoes, they wear slippers or something like that, is because the body, you are not your shoe. Your shoe is how you get around places. So you are not your body either. So we remind ourselves that the soul of the one departed, he's still around, that soul. But his shoes, he took off his shoes. So we also take off our shoes. We take off our body. And so we kind of remind ourselves to put ourselves, connect ourselves to the soul of the one we lost. We get confused about this, okay, because we have a soul again, and our body is, you know, that part of us that just wants to do very normal, animalistic body-like things, eat, drink, sleep, all that is our body talking, and our soul is what wants, inspires us to do greater things, to live for the long-term goal, to live selflessly. All those noble attributes are the workings of the soul. Now we confuse the two. I mean, what I told you that this you are your soul is a confusion. For example, you'll see, say you're supposed to be watching your sugar intake. You see a good piece of cake and you say, I want that cake. I want that cake. Then you hear a little voice. You really shouldn't. You really shouldn't have that cake. See what happened there? Who's the one telling me you really shouldn't? It's a third party. It's like almost like an out-of-body. Somebody else is telling me don't have the cake. But I want the cake. Wake up in the morning. I want to go to sleep more. I want to hit the snooze button. You know, you really should get up. So that voice of good Sounds almost like a third party, but that's the confusion. Actually, that confusion, according to Jewish thought, was started from the eating when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge. That's exactly the confusion that happened. Before that, they were the opposite. They were their soul, and their body was like a little bit of a glimmer where they said, "Oh, I, let's say, want to get up in the morning," and there was this kind of out of body voice that said, no, you shouldn't," or "I don't want to eat from the tree." But then an out of body voice said, "Oh, yeah, maybe you'd want to. It really looks really delicious. It smells really good." And now, since we ate from that, the roles were reversed, where we identify with our body. That's me, and my soul is something external. But that's not the truth. That's the confusion that we live in. Now, the Jewish way is not to remove the soul. Not to ignore the body, not to remove the body. Actually, the Jewish way is for them both to work together. The body and the soul working together, and actually they both gain that way. As long as the soul is the one leading, almost like a horse and a rider, that the rider is the soul and the horse is the body. When you listen to the rider, the horse, the horse is going to want to go one way, and the rider is going to want to go, where he needs to go. If you listen to the horse, you could get stuck on the side of the road. He's going to follow his bodily instinct, want to go after some nice lush clover, and you'll be stuck somewhere. You'll be out too late because you went the wrong route. If you listen to the driver, the rider knows best for himself, but also for the horse, so that he can have a good place to be. So when we listen to our soul, and our soul guides our body, our soul gains and our body gains. There's one exception to this. It happens to be I'm recording this class just less than 24 hours before Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the one day that we're totally soul focused. We ignore the body. That's why we don't eat, we don't drink, we don't do any of the bodily things. We become basically a soul. By the way, you probably know, you realize that's why we don't wear shoes or proper shoes on Yom Kippur, because we don't have our body. So that is the Jewish take on the soul. And so after we just made a blessing on the body, thanking Hashem for that, the wondrous act, and Mafilasos, the wonder that he's able to combine these two things, we thank him for our soul. So let's read these beautiful words, and certainly this should energize us. Those first wonderful words. My God, Elokai, Neshama shenasata bi tehorihi. The soul that you placed within me is pure. And there's a lot of things right there. First of all, that the language of that direct talking, like we pointed out, the difference between first person, I guess. First person versus third person. So you say first person to someone you're close to. So we turn to Hashem. We say, you are my God, my personal God, not just the God of the world, but someone who's the God of me. You personally know me and fashioned a soul, my soul, perfect for me with all the pros and the cons and the challenges. That's my soul. You put in me tahorahi. It's pure. Sometimes we feel not. This is actually a nice reason why we say it early in the morning. In the morning is the best time we feel good and we feel like we have options and we feel like we can do good. So we believe this. The soul that you put in me is pure. There's really nothing that we can do, according to Jewish thought. There's nothing that we can do to make it impure. There's a part of our soul that is just purely good. It gets maybe covered with dirt. Maybe sometimes it's hard to see, and we just keep listening to the horse, and the horse gets stronger and stronger. But there's nothing we can do about it. There is a soul there that is as pure, in fact, as pure as Hashem himself. Yep, he's the one who put it there. He created it, we'll say in a second. And that is the soul every morning, but really all day, it's always pure. Hashem is just waiting for us at any moment to change our ways, to decide to do the right thing. And so we remind ourselves every morning, it's pure. This day is a day of opportunity, and I can do anything I want with it. Because, and I can be perfect and I can be good, and I'm not defined by my yesterday's mistakes. Tahorihi, I am pure. Ata barasa, ata yitzarta, ata nafachta bi. You did three things here. You created it, you fashioned it, formed it, and you blew it within me. Okay? Actually, if you like Kabbalah, I'll share with you something. Rav Schwab has a book on prayer, and he shares a Kabbalistic idea here. He says that there are four worlds. Don't expect me to explain this or even understand this myself, but I'll say it anyways. There are worlds. Obviously, these are not physical things, but there's what Hashem is, which is just oneness. We've discussed that in the past. And we have the world we live in, which is just multiplicity. There's so many different pieces and parts and feelings and powers. That's what it appears. As the world goes from Hashem, oneness, to us, it slowly, I mean, as you can imagine, if that's the root, almost like you can see a tree going from one trunk to all the different branches. So as it's going, it starts to branch off. So there are two worlds in between. One's called the original world is Atzilus, then there's Bria, and the world of Yetzira, and finally Asiya. Those are the four worlds again. Creation, forming, and it's actually the exact same words that they use here. Well, the original is Shamash and Asatabi Tahori. It's pure. When it's, because it's from Hashem, it's a spark of Hashem. Like we say here, Atanafachtabi, you blew it in me. Hashem, which refers to what Hashem did with Adam when he blew into his nose. That's how he gave the dirt. When Hashem created Adam, he gathered all the dirt and then blew into its nose. And so we say that that's really me. Adam is the representative of every single individual. And so, Hashem, that's how you made me. You blew into me. But when that you originally took that breath, that was pure purity. That's what it was. It was purity, and it was just all the way up in that world of Atzilus. Then you say, Ata barasa, you brought it down into the world of creation. Ata yitzarta, you brought it into the world of Yetzira. Again, going on the lower worlds, and until Atanafachtabi, you literally blew it into me, into this practical, physical, in some ways, false world we live in, the world of Asiya. That's what it means over there. If you missed that, that's okay. I kind of missed it too. But I know some people appreciate it, so for you, you're welcome. Vata Mishamar Bekirbi. The next line is you continue to talk about the soul. That language is you safeguard it within me. It's almost like it's in a upside down cup, my soul, and it's going to come out, and Hashem keeps it in there, stopping it from coming out. And in the future you'll come and take it. Assumingly meaning at the time of death. And what does this mean? These two phrases, you put them together, is a fascinating story. I think that it's said best. There's a song, a beautiful, beautiful song. If you get your hands on it, it's really, I usually choke up most times when I hear it. It's called Neshamala. It was written by A.B. Rottenberg. So it's Neshamala, which is just like a, you know, cute way of saying a diminutive, cute way of saying Neshama, Neshamala. And it says the story of a soul. It's a discussion between a soul and the angel. How an angel comes to a soul and says, hey, it's time for you to be born. We're going to put you into a body. And at that time, the soul has no interest. He says, why would I want to go from this holy world up there, the world of, you know, just goodness and no temptation, and come down onto this terrible world here? The angel says, you're right, but there is a possibility of making this life meaningful. There are a lot of good people. There are a lot of good deeds. And if you come and use this world to the max to do mitzvos, to learn Torah, to fulfill your mission, to do what you're supposed to do, it's actually a good world. There's a lot of ways to make a mistake and ruin it, but you'll gain from it. So although the neshama really doesn't want to come down, he's forced and he comes down. And then the song actually has like a musical interlude that clearly is referencing life. You know, there's ups and downs, and it's very pretty. And then at the end, it jumps to a dialogue between the soul and the angel. But this time, the angel says, okay, it's time for you to pass on, to die, to leave your body. And again, the soul refuses, got so used to our body, so used to this world, and say, I want to stay here. I'm afraid of what's going to be. And the angel turns to him, and the beauty is it's the exact same angel who brought him there. He says, no. This was just a temporary thing, 70, 80, 120 years, and you did what you need to do, and now it's time to go back to real life, actually, to leave this world and to go to the heavens where you earned your reward. Getting choked up even just describing it without the music. I apologize, but it's really a very beautiful message for me, at least. I think so, especially when a person has that in their life. So it's just an amazing perspective of how to think about life. So that's you see this, by the way, this whole story, right? When a baby is born, everyone's happy, but the baby's crying, kind of representative of the soul that's crying. And when the person dies while everyone else is crying, very often the person who dies himself is content, is smiling, is looks okay, because the soul is okay. This is not the we have an upside down view of what the world really is, this world and the other world. Anyways, that easy two phrases here, and I'll kind of shum, we remind ourselves of those important things this morning. Atta Mishamrikiri, you kept it in me. My soul didn't want to come here, and you kept it inside. But in the future, you're going to have to litla me many to take it from me, because I'm not going to want to give it up when it's all over. I'm going to be comfortable in my body. But that is the way, that is what Hashem will do through that angel we discussed. And we're not done. Ulach in the future, you'll bring it back. It's not over. We believe in resurrection of the dead. Ultimately, the soul will go back in the body. It's interesting because even though the soul is really the real you, so why does it have to come back to the body? But that is one of the secrets of this world. That is the way Hashem intends it. The soul, like we spoke about the rider and the horse, while the rider is the one, let's say they win an award. Let's say the rider is the one who will win the award, but they'll both receive it because the rider did it with the body. Okay, that's a little bit more of a discussion, but I want to. Yeah, I think that actually explains it quite well. The rider is the one, the soul is the one that gets the award, but the way it gets the award is by being in a body. And so when Hashem wants to reward us, eventually he will put us in back into our bodies. Lahachzir bilas level will eventually return us. I'm a little bit long over here, but really such important messages, lessons of how to live life in these just few lines about our soul. So while we're thanking Hashem for our soul, we're reminding ourselves that our soul is unique, our soul is pure. It was created all the way up by heaven and brought down to us. While we didn't want to be here, eventually we came to get used to it. And while we don't want to leave, that's the right place where we need to be at that time after 120, and eventually we'll be resurrected. Calls man shana shana became me, so long as my soul is in me, meaning today I woke up, my soul is in me, modani lefanacha. Again, those are the same exact Hebrew words we started our day with. I thank you, right? I thank you, Hashem Elokai v'Elokei Avosai, Hashem my God and the God of my forefathers, ribon kol hamasa, the master of all works, adon kol haneshamos, and the master of all souls. You are the master of everything. So that soul that we described at length, you put it in me, and I thank you for that. Baruch Atah Hashem. We end with a blessing. Hamachzis proves that the whole thing was one long blessing. Hamachzir neshamos lefgar mesim, who returns souls to dead bodies. Now, what are dead bodies? So it means two things, actually. It means the resurrection of the dead that we mentioned in the blessing, but it means also those who are sleeping. Famously, the Talmud says that sleep is 1/60th of death. They always say a joke, for people who enjoy their naps. If sleep is good and death is what is 60 times as good as sleep, can you imagine how good death will feel? I think that's a bit of a joke, but it really refers to both of those things. the way Hashem wakes us up when we're sleeping, and the way Hashem will ultimately resurrect us when we after in the afterlife. It really actually, by putting these two things in one phrase, like the one who wrote this bracha did, it actually says there's really two lessons there. One, we appreciate each and every day when we wake up. Each and every day when we wake up, we really just got our souls back. We were basically dead. We don't really have the power to bring that back. And Hashem gave us another chance, so we thank Him for that. And the other way around, those of, you know, who have doubts of the resurrection of the dead, the truth is, even scientists have a very hard time understanding what sleep is. You know, don't think about it too much when you're going to sleep. It'll keep you up if you try to figure out, like, what exactly happens. How does a person fall asleep? But it just kind of happens, and yet we get resurrected. We get awoken. So if that can happen, by that same token, we believe that the resurrection of the dead, even though a person looks like they're in the ground, they're dead, they can be revived. There are other evidence, but this is something that we as Jews believe. And with that, we will finish off this blessing. Again, where we're up to, we just thanked Hashem last time for our body, and now we thank Him for our soul, our pure soul, giving us another chance, keeping it in us, and all these important lessons of who we are, that we are our souls, and therefore, we gotta live life to the max, and therefore, we are pure, and there's really nothing that can be done about it. We should not feel guilty about things, and we should just believe in ourselves and believe in the same way Hashem believes in us. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening. For questions, comments, and sponsorship opportunities, please email us at rabbilindenbaum@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.